All right, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing today? All right, so my name is E.T., for those of you who don't know me. I'm from Dorothy, New Jersey, and we're looking forward to really having a good time today and sing some songs, learn some about some Bible stories. Is it right here? Right there. Yeah, and we're going to go from there. So if you have a song that you'd like to give out, please raise your hand, and then we'll pick you, all right? Who wants to go first? You want to go first? What's your name? Okay, you go ahead. What number do you want? Number two. Number two. Could someone please help me start number two, please, on the hymn sheet? If you're missing a hymn sheet, we'll get you one.
No child of seven or even three or four may enter into heaven through Christ's open door. For when the heart believeth on Christ the Son of
right, you have a girl give out a song this morning? Cassidy. Number seven. Could someone help me with this one too? Okay, someone from this section over here. Asa. Number 10. All right, Jesus loves me, this I know. Now, should we try singing a little differently this time? What do you guys think? Raise your hand if you think it's a good idea to sing it a little differently. All right, you know, we're not going to say the word me on the chorus. All right? We're going to point to ourselves instead. We'll say, yes, Jesus loves. Don't say it. All right, we'll see if we can get through the whole song, or at least one time in the chorus, without saying it. Especially the fourth line, the Bible tells so. That's the trickiest one. We always tend to forget. The first three were good, last one will get us, all right? So we'll sing number 10, and we point to ourselves. We can think the fact that Jesus loves, and you can put your name in there. Think of yourself, right? Because the Lord Jesus loves all of us, all right? Jesus loves me. was close. We almost got it. Maybe next year. Have a year to practice. All right. So that was fun. Thank you for that. And it's good to be reminded, right? The Lord Jesus loves me personally. He loved that man, the thief on the cross that was there. He loved him. He loves Timmy. He loves Heidi. He loves Kiki. He loves Ray. He loves all these kids. He loves you individually. He died for you. And that is why we sing about him, because we have such a great and awesome Savior. All right. Does anyone else have another song they want to give out? We've done this section. We've done this section. This one. How about you guys? Yeah. Number 5. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will have the anthem sing, singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. One princess to that world above the heavens so bright and fair, where all is peace and joy and love, how came the children there singing glory, glory, glory to God on high. Because the Savior shed his blood to wash away their sin, now wash in that most precious blood, behold. Okay, now I want to ask if there's any other kids that are sitting in the back that want to come to the front. We have a couple extra chairs. I know it could be a bit scary, but we're all in here together. We're all friends, because I have a couple of things that I want to talk about, and I might need some volunteers. So, if you feel brave enough, or if your parents let you, also cool. So, while we're doing that, I want to do a little activity to make sure we're all awake and in shape. I've been to Malawi, Africa, and there, in the classrooms, it gets really noisy sometimes. And whenever it's time to be quiet, the teacher makes the kids do this thing, okay? I've done it before. Maybe you'll have seen it done before, okay? So we'll all put our hands up. Ready? Hands up. Hands up. Hands down. Hands up. Hands down. Clap once. Clap twice. Hands up. Hands down. Can we do it faster, you think? Who thinks we can do it faster? Raise your hand if you think we can do it faster. All right, let's do it. Hands up, hands down. Hands up, hands down. Clap once, clap twice. Hands up, hands down. All right, if I see people sleeping, we're going to do it again. Sounds good? All right, we have time for at least one more song. How about we go from this section? Yeah, go ahead. You already gave one out. His turn, her turn. Go ahead. What number did you have? Number 15? All right, number 15. 1, 2, 3, 4.
5, 6, 7. God has made a way to heaven. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Through the blood of his dear son. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I may enter heaven's gate. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Grace and so may you. 3, 4.
right, who has one more song from this side of the room? Number 8. I am so glad that our Father in
heaven tells of his love and of what he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me.
Sing one last one, a short one, before we go ahead. Which one do you want to give out? Number 2? We already sang it. Can we do number 14 instead? All right, number 14. Number 14 has the word 2 in it, so it'll be good enough. Number 14. One door and
only one. The inside the 2. Inside and outside.
Boys and girls, very happy this morning to be able to talk to you about a story from the Bible. And it's our prayer and the prayer of everyone here in this room that you all know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. It's not enough to just know about Jesus. It's not enough to go to meeting. It's not enough to sit in Sunday school and listen and even answer questions. That each one of you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, that is the most important thing that you can have. Let's pray and ask the Lord for his help, and then we'll go into our story, okay? Let's pray. Our God and Father, thank you for this time we have this morning. We pray for these kids here, and the older ones too, that will be listening to this message. We just pray that it would be clear. We pray that there would be joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. We pray for help for me, that my voice would stay, and thank you for this beautiful day we have today. Amen. All right. Yesterday, Mr. Mearns had a meeting, and he spoke about a certain type of people. Who remembers what he spoke about? Yeah. Getting saved? Okay. Who knows what he talked about, or who he talked about? Yeah. Woman in the Bible. Now, that's a topic that my girls love to hear about. They say, Daddy, there's not enough stories about girls in the Bible. So I'm glad that Mr. Mearns put a point to that. But today I want to talk about a man in the Bible. And I've got to balance things out. So we're going to talk about a man, a regular man. He wasn't someone that you think about right off the bat when you think of someone in the Bible that was like a famous man. Like, who's a famous Bible character that was a man? Who can think of a famous, yeah.
Jesus,
yeah. Yeah. Samson, yeah. Who else can we think about? Yeah. David. Who else? Yeah. Paul. Yeah. Saul. Okay.
Adam.
Okay. These are, yeah. Gideon. Yeah, these are all people that we know about, and we know the stories really well. I want to talk about a character in the Old Testament that was a regular guy. A regular guy that had a heart for the people of God. A regular guy that was motivated and that did great things for the Lord. His name starts with the letter N. Who knows who I'm talking about? Noah? Further down.
Nehemiah.
Nehemiah. Let's turn to the book of Nehemiah, and we're going to go through Nehemiah very quickly because we only have 26 minutes left. So we're going to go through a couple key points in the story. If you're sitting in the front row, I might need your help. Are you going to help me if I need you? Thumbs up? All right, we're good. So Nehemiah chapter 1. So a little bit of background here. I'm not going to go into too much detail, but Nehemiah, he worked for the king. And this king, I'm going to say his name wrong, but Artaxerxes, maybe I'm saying it right. But this is a famous king. He was a conqueror. He was the one, I believe, that had been involved in taking the Jews from their land into captivity. Or maybe he was a descendant of it. But the Jews were in this town. And earlier on, there had been a movement where, I believe it was Zerubbabel and Ezra went back to Israel and back there, and they started to rebuild the temple. But now, a few years later, this guy, Nehemiah, gets news from his brother, Hanani. Now, who likes to have good news? Who likes to hear bad news? We don't like bad news. No, that was no good. But he got some bad news. And you know what the bad news was? The bad news was that the people, the survivors that are left in captivity, Nehemiah 1:3, are left from captivity in the province, and they're in great distress and reproach. The wall in Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. Whew. Who would like to live in a town like that? Burnt up walls, no wall, the gates are burned up, broken down. Would that be a good place to live in? No, it'd be kind of like, you weren't protected in those days, right? In those days, there was no, like, police officers to, well, they had soldiers, but if you didn't have walls around your city, you could have people, invaders, come in and capture or steal from you. So you had to have walls up, right, for protection? Would that be a good idea, Asa, to have walls around your building? Absolutely. And his brother is saying, all these problems are happening. So what does he do whenever he hears about these problems? And this is a good lesson for all of us, right? He hears about these problems. Does he get angry? What does he do? He weeps. Yeah, he had a real care. He had a heart that loved the people of God. And he prays. He wept, mourned for many days, and fasted and prayed. And he says, you know, he takes ownership of being part of that failure. And you know what? The Lord could use him for blessing. Now, this man, Nehemiah, he was a regular guy. We talked about that, right? He had a job. Who has a job here? Yeah. If you have a job, whether you're working for someone, you have your own business, or you work at home taking care of kids, or whatever you do, that's a job. And we can all do it heartily for the Lord, right? Even being in school, that's a job too. Even if it's homeschooling. All right, so let's keep going. So he had a job. He was the king's cupbearer. Huh? What's a cupbearer? Who knows what that is? Do you know what a cupbearer is? Holding cups? What does a cupbearer do? Yeah, go ahead. What does a cupbearer do? Yeah, grape juice for the king? Yeah. What else do you think a cupbearer do? Yeah. That's right. Now, there's different translations, but some people say the term is like butler, which would be cupbearer, which would be include the food testing possibly as well. So last night, Mr. Mearns talked about his grandson wanting to eat the food, the breakfast when the company came over, right? Would that be a good breakfast when company comes over? Absolutely. But this king ate like that all the time. And guess what Nehemiah got to do? He got to eat amazing food all the time. if you ask me, that's a pretty good deal. Who would like a job like that? Always eating the best food ever. That'd be a fun job. With one catch, though. In those days, if they didn't like the king, the bad men might try to put poison in the food. And they think, if I put poison in the food or in the king's wine, and he drinks it, what's going to happen? He's gone. He's dead. And Nehemiah's job was to taste the food first, or drink the wine or taste the food to make sure that the king didn't die. So if he would eat the bad food and die, well, at least he's dead. The guy can get a new cupbearer, but the king would be okay. Right? So it was a good job with good benefits, but there was high risk, right? Yeah, high risk. And so he was a very special for the king. He was one of the king's good friends. And now he's going to go to this king. And this king, you know, I have a boss, and if I go talk to him, I'm not worried for my life. But this guy, this king, Artaxerxes, he was a powerful ruler. He could say, off with your head, and boom, your head would go. There was no trial, there was no court, there was nothing. So he was going to the king, Nehemiah was, and he was sad. Nehemiah was discouraged. He was a little bit down. And do you think it's a good idea to show up in front of a grumpy king with a bad attitude? What if I show up like this? Sometimes people go to work on Mondays and they're a little grumpy or sad. You think it'd be a good idea to show up in front of a king who can have the power of life and death over you and your whole family in a bad, be a little sad? I don't think so. But the king knew, and obviously he had a good relationship with this man, Nehemiah. And so he's going to have a conversation with him. He says, why are you sad? And so he talks to him about why he's sad. And Nehemiah goes into detail about what happened. But before he did, he prayed. And that's a good reminder, right? He didn't have time to go back to his car or back to his home and pray. Right there in the moment the king asked him a question, he prayed, right? And that's a good reminder for us to be prayerful. Okay. And so the king, to move on here, because time is flying, the king allowed Nehemiah to go back to his land. He was going to go back to his land and help rebuild that wall. And the king gave him timber, he gave him money, he gave him everything he needed to go back. And so for sake of argument this morning, I'm going to be Nehemiah, and you guys are all the people that are going to come with me to build the wall. How does that sound? All right? Okay, don't worry about it. You guys want to help me out build the wall? Who wants to build the wall? Yeah? You want to help out? All right, good. So, we're going on this trip. And this was not like, oh, let's go to conference trip. This was many weeks traveling on a hot desert. So we're going to kind of cut out that part for sake of time because we only have 20 minutes left. But the point is that we're going to all going to help build this wall. Okay. And so Nehemiah arrives into the town. And there was so much rubbish, he couldn't even get his donkey to go through all the rubbish. And he's praying, he's asking the Lord to help. And he's going to tell the people, let's build the wall. And he was a motivator. He got them encouraged, and the Lord was with him, and he starts to build this wall. And so in verse 18 of chapter 2, he says, let us rise up and build. And they set their hands to the good work. Who likes spring cleanup? Sometimes your parents are like, today's Saturday, let's go to work. And your dad tries his best to motivate you. And sometimes you're like, oh, I just don't feel like it, right? But in this case, the people were motivated and they worked hard, right? They worked hard because they knew this was for the good. But then there's three people that were not good. You know, every time there's a work of God and something that you want to do for the Lord, there'll always be discouragement. The people that'll try to come and cause things to go badly. And so we have three characters. And they're right here in this room today. Where's Sanballat? Stand up, Sanballat. Uh-oh. He doesn't look very friendly. Uh-oh. Where's Tobias? Uh-oh. And where's Geshem the Arab? Oh, now these guys were against the people of Israel. They were not happy that we're going to go back and build this wall. And they're troublemakers. Who likes a troublemaker? No. So we got to watch out for these guys, all right? Let's watch out for them. All right, you guys sit back down. But you guys, keep an eye on them. Can you help keep an eye on them for me? Jack, you keep an eye on them? Thanks, good. Because these guys are going to cause trouble for Nehemiah.
and his people and his friends. And so they're going to start building the wall. And chapter 3, verse 1, Eliashib the high priest. The high priest, which was there to help with the worship and lead the people, he rose up and built the sheep gate. So he's building this gate. He showed a good example. He built the sheep gate. And it's not my desire to go through all these different portions, but many people built different parts of the wall. So who wants to help build the wall here? All right, if you're in the front row, stand up. Apart from these bad guys, because they weren't helping. All right, if you're in the front row, stand up. What do we need to build a wall? All right, stand up if you're in the front row. Yep. Bricks? Are there any bricks here outside today? I walked outside. I found one single dirty brick, so I said, we're not bringing those in today. I saw some rocks outside, some cement. What would you use to build a rock? I mean, to build a wall? Wood, that's good. What else would you use? Stone. Okay. All right. So let's just turn around our chairs and start banging our chairs, the noise of building. All right. Just bang your chair. You can sit down if you want to. We've got to bang your chair. I want to hear some good building noises here. All right. Start banging your chair. Come on, guys. Keep going. All right. Build that wall. Come on, guys. All right. All right. You can stop now. Good. So we're all building the wall together. And people build in front of their own house, right? If you had to build a wall, would you build in your wall or would you go to your neighbor's house? Probably your own house, right? But one little thing I want to point out here, that man, Eliashib, he didn't build a wall in front of his own house. Okay, you think maybe he was helping other people. Well, that's good too. But he didn't build a wall in front of his own house. And to apply this to our lives, you know, I'm a dad now. And those of us who are kids, our parents, they sometimes put rules or walls up in our life. And they put things up to tell us what we can and can't do. And sometimes it's not easy to obey, right? Our parents tell us something, and we're like, oh, I don't want to listen. I don't like that. Why is dad or mom telling me this? But it's there for a reason. And they have to answer to the Lord of how they're going to raise you. And so they had walls up in the city of Jerusalem, and we have in our own homes walls too, rules that we have because our parents care for us and love us. Eliashib didn't do that. And we're going to see later on where that led. So to those of us who are parents, don't be weary of well-doing. If you have rules in your home for the Lord's glory, do it. Don't give up. And kids, sometimes we don't like it, right? But we have to listen to our parents because that's the right thing to do. All right. Let's go down to chapter 3 and verse 5. Next to them, the Tekoites made the repairs, but their nobles did not put their shoulders to the work of the Lord. Huh. These people weren't really to help out. Have you ever done this before where you're working, your parents say, let's do the chores. And there's always that one sibling that doesn't want to help out. Does that ever happen? In big families, I'm sure that happens, right? There's always that one sibling that doesn't want to help out. No, she's okay. And so, sometimes they don't want to help. But then the other people say, you know what? Even if they're not going to help, we're still going to help build the house of the Lord. And so they built the house of the Lord, and it's too bad that they didn't help out. These men were nobles. They should have been showing the good example, but they didn't do it. All right, let's move on here. Time is flying. All right. Where's Sanballat at? Who's Sanballat? Stand up, Sanballat. All right. So Sanballat is here. And he's going to try to discourage us from building the wall. He heard that we were building the wall. He was furious and indignant. Uh-oh. He doesn't look very happy. His face is getting redder. You can also breathe a bit. Breathe, yeah. So he's saying, he's criticizing, he's negative. He's like, this is not good. And people were kind of discouraged by this guy because he was a strong personality and he was going to discourage them from building the wall. Uh-oh, where's Tobias? Now he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he'll break down the stone wall. Imagine that. He's saying a fox is going to build a wall down. That's not very kind. And he was not encouraging them at all. And they said, though, that they'd build the wall anyway. They kept building it anyway. But the strength of the laborers was failing because there was so much rubbish. They were not able to build the wall. And the adversaries were discouraging them. And so, Nehemiah takes matters in his own hands, right? And he, for sake of time, he gets these people together. He has them work with, some of them have their swords in their hand. And some of them are working with the sword. Some of them are working guarding while others are working. They have different shifts. And they're working. They're making sure that the wall is being built. And they built the wall in guess how many days? All right, you guys, how many days do you think they built? Who knows how many days it took to build the wall? Someone older, maybe. Josh, do you know? How many days it took to build the wall? 52 days. 52 days to build the wall because they had a mind to work. And they worked hard and they built that wall. And meanwhile, there was a lot of complaining going on. There was complaining, there was criticisms, but they still built the wall. And in our Christian lives, if we're going to go on for the Lord, even if you're at a young age at school, and you're making a take a stand for the Lord, and you want to do what's right, there might be some criticisms. There might be some Balas and some Tobias that come up and criticize. Maybe some people you thought were your friends. People that you thought would be on your side, they might come and criticize you. But if you're doing the work of the Lord, take heart and don't be discouraged. All right, now we'll go to chapter 6. Now, the enemy is of our souls, Satan, is crafty. He'll try different techniques. He'll try intimidation. He'll try discouragement. He'll try lies. And here, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem get together. And they're like, you know what? We got to get these guys. They're building the wall. They're causing. They're going to restore worship in Jerusalem. We don't want them to do that anymore. So they said, we have an idea. All right, Sanballat, where are you at? Where are you, Sanballat? Oh, sorry, Geshem. Geshem said to Nehemiah, hey, come, let's meet together among the villages in the plains of Ono. He said, just come, we'll have a conversation, we're just going to chat. Now, this town is a town of Ono. Does Ono sound like a good place to go? Ono. So warning, if anyone says go to the town of Ono, you guys over here, my fellow builders, don't go to Ono. All right? It's a bad place. So they thought that they would do them harm. But Nehemiah knew, he had discernment that they're going to do me harm. So he didn't go. And he said, I am doing a great work. I cannot calm down. And so here Nehemiah is in type, the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And we read these verses sometimes on Sunday morning. The Lord Jesus Christ did a great work for us on the cross. He was not discouraged. He didn't come down from the cross. He finished the work that his Father had given him. And Nehemiah is going to complete the work that he was given. He trusted God. He was a man of prayer, a man of action, and he's going to work to accomplishing that. So remember, guys, these guys want us to go to Ono. Let's not go. All right? All right, let's move down. And so, even later on in the chapter, this man came with a special message for Nehemiah. And he said, Nehemiah, I got a special message for you. Let's go and like go out in the shadows of the temple and talk about it. Do you think he should go? Do you think I should go with these guys and have a special message from them? Nope. Nehemiah perceived God had not sent them. And Tobias and Sanballat had hired this guy to send a bad message. What does that mean for us? Now, there might be people in your life that want to influence your life, that want to talk to you. Maybe it's school friends, maybe it's coworkers, people around your neighbors. Just because they have something to tell you doesn't mean you have to listen. You have to always make sure that what they're saying is from the Word of God. There's things that are right and there's things that are wrong. And we have to make decisions of who we're going to listen to, right? Who we're going to allow to influence our life. So let's make sure that what we listen to and who we listen to is founded on what the Word of God would say. All right, let's move on. So 52 days, chapter 6, verse 15. The wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. And it happened when our enemies heard of it, the nations around us saw these things, they were very disheartened in their eyes. For they perceived that this work was done by our God. And so they perceived that God had done a work. God was acting. If God is acting, there's nothing we can do to discourage it. All right, we're going to move down for sake of time, let's go to chapter 8. So Nehemiah had good friends, and one of them was Ezra. Ezra the priest. Verse 2, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all that could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. And later on it says, the people were attentive to the book of the law. What does it mean to be attentive? Who can tell me what it means to be attentive? Or if someone says, pay attention, what does that mean? Don't look at other stuff. Listen. Listening with your ears, right? And when the Word of God is open, we're so encouraged that so many kids are here at the conference. Thank you, parents, for bringing your kids to conference. My kids, thank you for bringing your kids as well. And it's encouraging because we can be here together. We can listen to what the Word of God says. And maybe you're young. Maybe you're not understanding everything in the meetings. But you can listen and you can be attentive because the Word of God is being spoken. There'll be something for you to listen to. And so it's really nice to see that in verse 8, they read distinctly from the book of the law and gave it the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And so this happens at a conference, but it also happens on our day-to-day basis. And I'm speaking to us who are dads here, even though this is a Sunday school. It's so important that we clearly explain the Word of God to our kids. That we take the time to educate and to teach our families and to lead our families in the right way. We can't expect Sunday school to fill that up. We can't even expect the assembly meetings to fill that up. We have that responsibility individually. And I'll just say this, it's so encouraging that as we travel around to different places and we get invited in people's homes, to see them opening up the Word of God with us. To see how your family does Bible reading. And maybe we have a tip or trick and we use it in our family. That's encouraging and we need that. It's not just the assembly thing. And sometimes we're so glad to be together. It's so glad to have fellowship. And that's awesome. But to have the Word of God open to feed our souls and to encourage each other, that is so important. That's what our families need to grow in the Lord's things. And verse 10, some people were sad in the chapter. They were a little discouraged, or maybe they were weeping. The temple was not as nice as the old temple was nicer than the newer one. And Nehemiah says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And that is true for us as well who are Christians. Whether we're young or older, having the Lord in our hearts, having the joy of the Lord is what gives us power. All right. 5 minutes left. Hands up. Hands down. Hands up. Hands down. Clap once. Clap twice. Hands up. Hands down. We're almost there, guys. All right, let's go down to the end of the chapter. We talked about those three enemies, right? What are their names again? Gershom or Geshem? Bad dudes. Don't hang out with them. They're causing trouble. Not a conference. You guys are good. But these guys, remember what they were doing. Now, Nehemiah had a job. Who remembers the job of Nehemiah? What was Nehemiah's job? Yeah. Very good, but his old job. Who remembers his old job? Yeah. The cupbearer. Okay, so he had to go back to his job because his boss said, hey, I need you back. Sometimes we take vacation from work, but then our boss says, hey, I need you back. You got to come back and work. So he comes back and works. And while he comes back to work, guess what those sneaky guys are up to? They're like, Nehemiah's gone. All right, we'll get him. We'll get him. So now, Nehemiah's gone. And the people started mixing in, marrying people that were not from the land of Israel. They were compromising. The Word of God clearly said to not do this, and they did this. And no Ammonite and no Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God. But what's going to happen down here? Eliashib. Remember that guy? What did he do again? He did something wrong, I forget. What did he do? He built something, but he didn't build something else. Who remembers what he did? He built the sheep gate, but he didn't build what? In front of his own house. Remember that? He didn't put up walls in his own life. He didn't separate himself from the dangers of the outside. Eliashib the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of God, was allied with Tobiah. Wait a second. The priest, who's God's messenger, has Tobiah as his friend. This is not going to end well. And had prepared for him a large room where they previously had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, and so forth. And so Nehemiah comes back, and the enemy of the people of God is sitting right there in the temple area. Could you imagine that? The guy that was trying to destroy the wall, that was trying to destroy Nehemiah, he's back in this place. You think, how could that happen? And just think of it in our own lives, guys, that there might be times that we took a very hard stand on something that was wrong, but if there's compromise, little by little, we become friends with the world, friends with people that are not following the Lord. I don't mean friendships to try to win them for the Lord, but we start to do what they're doing. There might be compromise. And pretty soon, where's Tobiah? He's right there with the people of God. So Nehemiah comes back, and what does he do? It grieved him bitterly. And so he did a big spring cleanup. He took all the guy's stuff and just tossed it out the door and said, you get out of here. You don't belong here. This is not your place. You're an enemy of the people of God. You have no reason to be here. And sometimes it might take strength to stand up for what is wrong. If there's something that is not right, to say, no, I'm going to separate from that. I don't want anything to do with that because that's wrong. So he cleansed the temple and brought back the articles for the house of God. Because ultimately, God's honor was at stake, and there was compromise, and that was bad. All right. Later on, in verse 23, in those days I saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab. Remember at the beginning we said, the book of the law of Moses said, we should not do that. There should be no mixture, no compromise. What's going to happen? Uh-oh. Verse 28. One of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. What? Eliashib, what are you doing? Your son saw your bad example and married the daughter, I guess, of Sanballat the Horonite. What? There was that compromise, right? And it's sad to say, and I take this challenge to myself, what am I allowing in my life that's going to affect my kids down the road? So he saw Eliashib did not put up walls in his own life, and it was affecting the next generation. And so Nehemiah, once again, takes very hard action against it. He says he pulled out their hair. Cursed them, struck them, and pulled out their hair. Any volunteers? Anyone want to get their hair pulled this morning? No? Didn't think so. But that was, he took action. He was angry, not at the people as people, but because they were not following the Lord. And I know our time is gone, but this, in summary, Nehemiah is a picture of someone who, well, he is a person that followed the Lord. He didn't have much education. He wasn't a special king. He was a man who was motivated and wanted to do what was right. And if we take that one lesson home today for all of us here, are we willing to do what is right for the Lord? Are we live our life in the presence of God and live our life in a way that pleases the Lord? Even if there's these enemies, Sanballat, Tobias, and Gershom, these are the enemies. The Christian has three enemies, the world, Satan, and the flesh. We have these enemies that will be with us until we get to glory, but we have to keep on following what the Word of God says, keeping good company, keeping the Word of God open, and we can be like Nehemiah. We can be conquerors. We can be builders in our own lives, in our family's life, in the assembly's life. Okay? So thank you so much, everyone, for listening this morning. I'm really encouraged to see so many people here. Let's just have a quick word of prayer before we go to our break, okay? Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Father, for this day that we've had. Thank you for this story of Nehemiah and these lessons that we can learn. We pray that we would be careful to build up the walls in our own life, to be separate from what is wrong. Help us to cleave to you, Father, to have the Lord Jesus Christ before us, that these kids, we pray, that would grow up to be young men and young women of character and that have been, first of all, saved, but also obedient to your word and wishing to follow you with all their heart. We pray for encouragement for us, for our parents, that would do what is right in your sight. In thy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.